Isn't it wonderful when you can come and truly feel the presence of God?
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time? God is good. So glad that we have the opportunity to come together and enjoy this time of worship and watching God at work. Just so wonderful. If we had done nothing else, I think you could go home feeling pretty satisfied. But I think God has a little bit more for you. As we continue this series on the power of abiding. Today I want to talk a little bit about abiding in my love or God's love, in Christ's love, as the text says. Learning to do that. It was interesting because as I prepared the series in my head, so last week we finished at verse 11, so I was going to pick up from verse 12 and move forward. And then all of a sudden as I'm reading, God is turning my mind to just check a little bit ahead or backwards, so I went to verse 10. And then as I'm looking at verse 10, it says, you know, maybe you should look at verse 9. Maybe I should look at verse 8. Maybe I should just pause there. And it just switched my whole sense of the series as we're thinking about and talking about bearing fruit. So there's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. In the introduction, I have our theme verse, which is John 15:16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. And this is where we are focusing our attention for the year. And I wanted to ask the question, what do you think is the most important attribute that one must possess in order for them to have the ability to bear fruit that would remain? And this is what just turned my whole focus around as I pondered that question this week and as God revealed what he revealed to me. And we'll try to figure it out. But what is one thing, one attribute that one must possess in order for us to be able to actually bear fruit that would remain? Not just fruit, but fruit that would have an impact, that would last, that would make a difference in the lives of other people. So let's begin with the first point that Jesus said, abide in my love. In verse 9 it says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you, abide in my love. Again, that sense of, we'll develop that in a second here, the fact that we just need to abide in God's love. We need to live in that love of God. So by definition, last week we talked about abiding, or the word abide, and I did an acrostic which simplifies it to a certain extent. It says, aspire to build an indispensable dependence on the eternal. Again, aspire, something that you want to attain, to build, the purpose is really to build a relationship, indispensable dependence on the eternal. To recognize that we can't do anything on our own, we have to be totally dependent on God. Can we get to that place where we can be totally dependent on God? So in order for us to do that, we need to constantly abide in Christ. So I went back to the beginning of our text, of our chapter here, chapter 15. And as I'm reading, there's some strong words and word pictures or imagery that comes out. And I just want to read a couple of verses for us to just sort of help us to figure out a little bit where we're at. Verse 1 says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So if it's not bearing fruit, he takes it away. If it's bearing fruit, he wants more, and he prunes it. Verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. In other words, live in accordance to God's will. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That has to become a conviction that apart from him, we can't do anything. That's why we want to hang on to God. We want to hold on to God. We want to abide in him. Verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away. Now, just picture that in your mind. If anybody is not abiding in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's very strong. Those are strong words. And the imagery is really powerful. God is cutting off that branch, throwing it away. So we are here for a purpose. And if we're not accomplishing that purpose, then God has nothing to do with us. But then we will discover that Jesus really came to save us. So his purpose is still valid. And wherever we're at right now, he wants to do something with it. But he wants to encourage us to recognize we're either going to be in or we're going to be out. We can't be in limbo because that branch bears no fruit. It is cut off. And then the promise in verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, this is again a sense of there are no limits to God and to what he will do for us if we are abiding in him. Because if we are abiding in him and his word is abiding in us, there's going to be a transformation of our thought process. And the things that we want are going to be the things that God wants for us. Because the problem, the reason we don't get what we want when we pray is because we are often praying just for what I want. And I'm not here for me. I had nothing to do with being here. Right? God brought us here. And he brought us for a purpose. And so if we're accomplishing that purpose, then he wants to supply every single need. So that's why Jesus can say very confidently, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Because now your mind has been transformed. And what you're wishing for, what you're asking for, is in line with Jesus. Amen. And then he will give it to us. There will be no limits. Amen. And this is where I want us to be able to focus a little bit. There'll be no limits. There's no limits to what God can do through Mount Hope as a church or through us individually or through us as a family. There's no limits if we would only do one thing, abide in him. And we saw what happened here earlier, and it's not by accident. We are praying fervently that God will manifest himself among us. Because we are not coming to worship. We're not coming to churches out of habit. We're coming because there's something we've been called to worship God, to glorify God. And when we do that, he shows up. And when he shows up, I mean, I didn't have to say a thing. We felt him. And that's what he wants to do all the time. So what does it mean to abide in Christ? A couple of things. Number one, it means obeying God. It's very important that we live in this reality. We're all living in a particular reality, and our reality sometimes is outside of the will of God. We want some of the things that the world wants. We're not connected with God. But we need to change our reality to really live what God wants, and then everything becomes possible. So verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So we're going to be challenged today to do something that hopefully will stay with you for a while, that you will ponder and mull over until something happens inside of you. Because we're going to talk about what God is commanding us to do here. So first thing, though, is obedience. Trusting God and obedience to bear fruit, doing what God is calling us to do. It also means friendship with God. This is really important when we think about our relationship with God. We need to have that friendship with God. Verse 14 and 15 says, you are my friends if you do what? You are my friends if you do what I command you. So if we're not doing what God is commanding us, then we're not friends with him. And if we're not friends with him, he's not going to be interacting with us. And if he's not interacting with us, we miss out a lot. Verse 15 says, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I don't know about you, but this is the closest you can come to that sense of intimacy with someone, to be able to know everything about them, to be able to share with one another. And this is one of the things that God has promised in Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servant, the prophets. God says he's not going to do anything without telling his friends first. So that's why we can have a sense of vision and direction where we're going, because God is going to put in our hearts what needs to be done, because he's planning something. And he says, I want you to be the first one in it. I want you to be partners with me. You know, a lot of times, you know, information is pretty powerful. And everybody wants to be in the know. And if you have influential people around, you have the news before they get the news, before the rest of the world gets the news. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You knew it before it came on the TV because you had sources. And this is what God is saying. He's not going to do anything until he begins to share with us. In John 14, 21, it says this, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. If we are in that relationship with God, imagine the God that has all the knowledge, that has all the information, that knows the way, that has designed the course, he says to us, he will disclose himself to us. That's friendship with God. That's powerful if we would pay attention to it. Mark 4:34 says this, and he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. Jesus preached, he preached in parables, and the people were just like, what is he talking about? Even his disciples did not really figure out what he was talking about. But his disciples had the benefit of one thing. The master was with them. The master was friend with them. And he was able to tell them exactly what he meant. And so they were in the know because of the friendship they had with God. A lot of us are lost out there because we don't have the connection with God and we're not able to see what God is doing. Because again, remember what I said last week, sometimes a storm that comes in our lives is not to hurt us, but to clear the path so we can have what God has for us. So we can see it more clearly. So God is always, even when it's in the midst of storms, God is always there to reveal to us what he's doing. And that's real friendship with God. Abiding also means accepting God's call. In our particular theme verse, verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. But he says, I chose you and I appointed you to bear fruit and fruit that would last. Are we willing to receive the call that that God has placed in our lives? Because some of us are thinking, you know what? I want to be saved. Okay, don't get me wrong, I want to be saved, but I don't want to go through all that stuff. A lot of us are in that place where we don't want to accept what God has appointed us for, because what God has appointed us for is outside of our comfort zone. And so we decline and we miss out. Because when God puts you in a tough situation, that's when he has the opportunity to open himself up to you, for you and for me to see the power of God. See, when everything is just going smoothly, there's no need for God. When you're doing what you've done all your life, it's so easy. There's no challenge. At the end of the day, you've gone through the day. There was no exhilaration. There was no excitement. There was nothing. But when you face challenges, when you face something that's difficult, when you get to a place where I don't know how this is going to unfold, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And then God comes in and says, let me show you how. Now you're partnering with God, the Almighty, the creator of the world. That's a powerful thing. And we're missing out when we're not in that partnership with him. So abiding in God means really loving God, as verse 9 says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. And so we're going to be spending the rest of the time processing verse 9 and so forth. Why is abiding in Christ or in Christ's love so fundamental? As I said, we're going to do the series is going to be from chapter 15, 16, and 17. And when I started the whole thing, it's just I'm thinking about the vine, I'm thinking about branches, God choosing us, God appointing us, God expecting certain things, and it just sort of something that I overlooked was made very clear to me this week as I thought about there's something in common in all these chapters and throughout the Bible, actually. So the cornerstone of everything, the one word, one attribute, one fruit that we need to have in order to be able to abide, to produce fruit that will last, verse 12 and 17. It says, this is my commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. Not a suggestion. Not do it if you want to. This is a commandment. Verse 17, this I command you, that you love one another. So this became very apparent that this love thing is really important to God. As a matter of fact, it's so important, that's the cornerstone, that's the foundation of everything that we can produce. In other words, you're not going to be able to produce any fruit that will last without love. And to be able to experience that love is what we're going to talk about a lot today. So I labeled this point here, don't miss the forest for the trees. Don't miss the forest for the trees, because sometimes we focus too much, as I was focusing, on, okay, we're supposed to be a fruit. Let's focus on the fruit. And then God showed me something different. So what is the chief end of mankind? What is the most important thing that mankind has to do? The Westminster Catechism succinctly summarized what the Bible teaches. It says, mankind's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God has brought us here so we can glorify him and enjoy him forever. The end. To glorify him. How we go about doing that. So, verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear fruit. You want to glorify the Father? Very simple. Bear fruit. He says, so prove to be my disciples. And as I read that, this is why I went back to verse 8. When I read that, and so prove to be my disciples, the thought came to me concerning John 13:35. It says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love for one another. The only way people will know that we're different is that we love one another. And the one thing that's lacking in our society is love. There's a lot of hatred, a lot of animosity, a lot of anger, a lot of stuff. All because there's not enough love. I'm not even talking about the world. There's not enough love from Christians. And people can't decipher whether we are disciples or not. First John chapter 3, verse 14 says this, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, meaning Jesus, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, which is what John 15:13 teaches as well. Jesus died for us, and then we are being instructed that we need to die for one another. Now, if you think that's easy, I want you to really think hard, because it's not. It's not that easy. As a matter of fact, I thought about it a lot this week. I think it's easier to love your enemy than to love your pesky friends. Right? It's like you have a tumor, you can remove that, and then you're healed and you're gone. You suffered for a little bit and that's it. But you can have that pinched nerve that lasts a lifetime. Right? Every day you are reminded that something is not quite right. Right? And this is where God says we need to love one another. And that's a challenge. And that's a challenge we're going to face today. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." If we're able to love, I'm not talking about the love that the world talks about, but if we're able to love, it's because we know God. We cannot love unless or until we have experienced the love of God ourselves. So it's very important that we understand that God loves us and how much he loves us. And I want to talk about that a little bit. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says this, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So if you don't love, and hopefully a lot of us will be thinking about our relationships, because the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If we have God in us, we're going to have this ability. Now we're going to have to choose to exercise this ability to love. We're going to have to choose, make a decision, because it's a command. If it's a command, that means you have a choice whether to obey or not to obey. And if we don't obey, my point today, my one big point today is if you don't have love, you will not be able to produce any of the fruit that will have a lasting impact in your lifetime. If you do not have love, you will not be able to produce fruit that will remain. And that was a big discovery for me. The cornerstone, the foundation of all the fruit that we can bear comes from this one thing, that we love one another as God has loved us. So 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." So this is really important. We love because he first loved us. So in order for us to love other people, we must have experienced the love of God. And the love of God is experienced through understanding that we are condemned to hell because of our sins. Now the problem is, a lot of us feel that, you know what? I'm not really as bad as this other person. So, you know, yeah, God died on the cross and all that stuff, but I mean, my sins were not as complicated and as heinous as this other one here. And so if you minimize how much God loves you because he died for you, if you minimize your sins, you will minimize the effect of the power of his love. Because he loved us so much that he died on the cross for us. You and I need to come to grips with the fact that, what does it mean to go to hell, be condemned to hell because of our sins? The Bible says, if we fault on one of the commandments, we have broken all the commandments. So nobody can say, you know, I've done a very good job. I obeyed 9 out of 10 commandments. It means nothing. You need to understand, you don't deserve heaven, neither do I. God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. Augustine says this, "God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us." God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us. If I was the only one on earth, God would send his son to save me. If you were the only one on earth, God would send his son to save you. He did that. But you cannot appreciate it until you realize how much you needed it. Have you ever had the experience where someone did something for you that was so big that you wanted to thank them? And how you had to get your heart and your mind together deliberately to begin to process, how can I say thank you to this person that has done such a great thing for me. You really think about it and you really process it because you want so badly to say thank you. And you know that the words themselves are just not enough. And you're trying to figure out how can I say it so they can know that I really appreciated it. And we just do all kinds of stuff to come up with something. My challenge to us is if we process what God has done for us, how much are we willing to go through to figure out, God, how can I thank you for dying on a cross for my sins? You can only do this if you recognize that your sins cost God his son. And some of us are missing out because we don't think, you know, we sinned that much. We rationalize that what we've done is not that bad. Interesting word, right? Rationalize. The rational lies. Right? The rational lies. We try to figure out, we try to make it right in our head, although we know it's wrong. And we've covered a whole bunch of sins because it's not that bad. I want you to let your guards down, be honest with God, and say, God, show me how wicked my heart really is, so I can realize how much you love me by sending your son to die on a cross for my sins. At that point, you'll begin to experience the love of God. Because, my friends, we cannot love until we receive God's love. We don't know how to love until we receive God's love. It's not until the abundance of God's love is upon us that it overflows to our neighbor. It's impossible to love your neighbor if you have not enough love. And what's the biggest problem in our society today? We talked about it already, right? There's not enough love. Not enough love from parents to children. Not enough love from children to parents. Not enough love between husbands and wives. Not enough love with neighbors. Because there's something that we're not processing. How much God loved us. And I want to encourage you to really go deep with that. Because let me read you from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and following. It says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Apostle Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus. Verse 15, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, listen to this very carefully, you being rooted and grounded in what? Being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. In other words, you cannot understand the breadth, length, height, and depth of who God is until you are rooted and grounded not in biblical knowledge, not in all the smarts of the world, but in love. Grounded, rooted, and grounded in love. And some of us need to receive that love from God so we can share it with others. And this is a real challenging message for me. Right, because it comes to the root here is that love, that sometimes we're not expressing that love towards one another. And until we can have that unity of love, the kingdom of God does not move further. Because we cannot share with the rest of the world what God has done for us. So it's impossible to abide or to produce fruit without this love. John 17, verse 26 says, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. As Jesus is praying in John 17, he comes to the end, he says, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known so that the love with which you love me The love that Jesus experienced from the Father, he wants to give to us so that we can bear fruit. Because without that, we cannot bear fruit. So, again, when I was thinking just about the bearing fruit aspect of it, I missed the point that until we have love, the rest of the fruit may come and go. They're not going to be lasting. And the command from John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would bear fruit, fruit that would remain. We have not been called to just exist, to just have this minimal amount of fruit that we produce. That's not what God called us for. He called us to bear fruit that will last, that will make an impact, that will make a difference in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our communities, in the world. But it has to start with me. It has to start with you. It has to start with us as Christians. And so, whatever you want to think about, whatever you want to do for God, if love is not part of it, you're wasting your time. It will not be satisfying. But if you have the love of God, and I know there's some people that have confessed to me that they know God, that they know that there's a God. It's not that they don't believe in God. It's not that they don't believe in the Bible. But they have said openly that they have never experienced that sense of closeness with God, which is real. And maybe some of you are sitting here and you hear this talk about God, but you have not experienced this connection with God. Something is missing. And today I hope that you would just allow God to embrace you, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to embrace us. He wants to pour out his love on us. And again, our neighbor is never going to know love from us except what overflows from what God showers upon us. So as we conclude, I want you to think about this integrity audit, an action step. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus answered, verse 26, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the question for us today is this. What is your love quotient for God and for neighbor? What is your love quotient for God and neighbor? And again, I want to encourage you, let's be honest with ourselves. God is really not going to get upset with you if you realize, you know what, I have not loved people the way I should. As a matter of fact, I don't even know what the love of God feels like. Be open. And they say to God, God, you need to show me. Open my eyes so I can see. Open my mind so I can understand how much you love me. Because I tell you, there's people craving for love in our society today. They haven't gotten it from anywhere. It's hard for them to understand that there's a God that they can't see that loves them that much. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment, close your eyes. And maybe you're in that place where you don't know God. You don't know the love of God, but you want to. And God is inviting each one of us. He sent his son to die on a cross for our sins. He loved us. He laid down his life for us. He wants to be our friend. He wants to reveal to us who God the Father is. He wants to show us the way. So if you don't know God today, is there anyone just by raising your hand will say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to turn my life over to God. I want to let Him lead my life. I want to experience that love. Is there anyone today, just by raising your hand, will say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Maybe you're at the place that you've all accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want you to think about the next challenge. What is your love quotient for God and for neighbor? In all honesty, come clean before God. Let God minister to you. Let God show you where something is missing and how He can help you to love Him and your neighbor. Let us pray. Gracious God, we want to thank You for ministering to us this morning. We thank You for just joining us and allowing us to experience You personally, the power of Your presence. Father, how wonderful it is to be able to be in Your presence. Father, I pray that as we go from this place that we will not leave that behind, but we will remember that You would never leave us nor forsake us. That means You're going to go with us. And Father, as we face the challenge of this afternoon or tomorrow, this week, or this year, Father, we want to thank You that You are there with us. And so, Father, we want to accept that call that You chose us. You appointed us to bear fruit, fruit that would last. And Father, we do recognize it has to start with love. So just infuse us with Your love and let the overflow bless all those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.